Mariette to watch the rally too, from the enforced confinement of her apartment. Mine the rings? Cardenas gasped at the idea. Nadia's gonna have a stroke over that. Gaeta made a grudging grunt. I don't know, maybe he's on to something. 10 to the 17th is a big number. But still, Cardenas murmured. You know what the going price is for a ton of water? I know it's more precious than gold, said Cardenas, but that's because the price of gold has collapsed since the rock rats started mining the asteroids. Mining the rings? Gaeta scratched at his jaw. Might be a workable idea. What are we going to do about Holly? Cardenas asked, her voice suddenly sharp. Gaeta said, There's not much we can do, is there? We're stuck here. For the time being. So? There's the phone, Cardenas said. Who do you want to call? Who can help us and help Holly?
Quien sabe?
What about Professor Wilmot?
He wasn't at the rally, said Gaeta.
So he's probably home. Cardenas told the phone to call the professor. No image formed, but Wilmot's cultured voice said,
I cannot speak with you at the moment. Please leave a message.
Before Gaeta could say anything, Cardenas said, Professor, this is Chris Cardenas. I'm concerned about Holly Lane. I've taken the liberty of accessing her dossier from the Earthside files, and it doesn't match the dossier that Eberle claims is hers. There's no record of mental illness or emotional stability. Something is definitely wrong here, and I'd like to discuss it with you as soon as possible. Once the phone light winked out, Gaeta said,
That's assuming Eberle lets us out of here.
Cardenas replied tightly, He can't keep us under lock and key forever.
Well, he's got us under lock and key right now.
What can we do about it? She wondered aloud. Gaeta reached for her.
Well, you know what they say.
She let him pull her into his arms.
No, what do they say? Grinning. When they hand you a lemon, make lemonade.
She thought about the bugs that Eberle's people must have planted in the apartment. They've probably got cameras watching us. He grinned wickedly. So let's give them something to see. Cardenas shook her head.
Oh, no.
But we could stay under the blanket. I doubt they've got infrared sensors planted.
Holly came up in the administration building and slipped along its empty corridors to her own office. There was no window in her cubicle, so she went to Morgenthau's office and looked out at the street. Empty. Everybody's either at the rally or at home watching the rally, she thought. She hoped. But there are security goons watching the surveillance cameras. Worse, there are computers programmed to report any anomalies that the cameras pick up, she knew. I bet my description is on their list of anomalies. People can be distracted or lazy or even bribed. The warp in computers never blink. What I need is a distraction. It won't fool the computers, but it'll keep the security people busy. A distraction. Holly closed her eyes, picturing the schematics of the habitat safety systems that she had memorized. For several minutes, she sat at Morgenthau's desk, her face twisted into a grimace of concentration. Then, at last, she smiled. She activated Morgenthau's desk computer and, recalling the access code for the fire safety system, began instructing the computer to create a diversion for her.
Tavallera trudged wearily back along the tunnel he had come down. At least, he was pretty certain it was the same tunnel. He had taken a couple of turns out near the end cap, where several tunnels joined together. No sign of Holly. Maybe those security goons got her. He felt anger welling up inside him. Anger and frustration and fear mixed and churning inside his guts, and the sullen ache in his side where they had whacked him with their batons. The bastards, he thought. Holly never hurt anybody. Why are they out to get her? Where could she be? Is she safe? Have they got her? Where could she be? He stopped walking and looked around the dimly lit tunnel. Pipes and electrical conduits ran along the overhead and both walls. Christ, he muttered. Where the hell am I? Monitoring the security cameras was easy duty. G. Archer had his back to the double row of surveillance screens as he tapped a stylus against his teeth, planning his next move. You sleeping? Asked Yoko Chiyoda, grinning impishly. Thinking, said Archer. It's hard to tell the difference. She was a big woman, with a blocky torso and thick limbs well-muscled from years of martial arts training. Archer was slim, almost delicate, with slicked back blonde hair and soft hazel eyes. The tabletop screen between them showed the battle dispositions of the Russian and Japanese fleets at the Tsushima Straits in May 1905. Just to devil Archer, she had taken the Russian side and was beating him soundly nevertheless. Give me a minute, Archer mumbled. You've already had. Several things happened at once. The sprinklers set in the ceiling began spraying them with water. The intercom loudspeakers blared, Fire, evacuate the building at once. Archer jumped to his feet, banging his shin painfully against the play table. Chiyoda sputtered as she got up, blinking against the spray of ice-cold water drenching her. She grabbed Archer's hand and dragged him limping toward the door. Unseen behind them, one of the surveillance screens showed a lone woman walking swiftly along the empty street in Athens that led from the administration building to the complex of apartment buildings further up the hill. The security computer's synthesized voice was saying, 93% match between the person in camera view and the fugitive, Holly Lane. Notify security headquarters at once to take appropriate steps to apprehend the fugitive, Holly Lane. She is wanted for questioning. But neither Archer nor Chiyoda heard the security computer. They were already halfway out of the building, drenched, rushing blindly to escape the fire that did not exist, except in the circuits of the safety computer.
Computers are so smart, Holly thought, and so dumb. A human person would have looked to see if there really was a fire in the building, but give a computer the right set of instructions, and it'll act as if a fire had truly broken out. She grinned as she skipped up the steps in front of the apartment building and tapped out its security code. The door sighed open and she stepped in, out of range of the surveillance cameras at last, and hurried up the stairs to the second level where Wilmot's apartment was, and almost ran into the arms of the two security officers standing in the corridor outside Wilmot's door. "Nobody's allowed to see Professor Wilmot," said the first one, "but snapped the second guard, recognition dawning on his face. "You're Holly Lane, aren't you?" Holly turned to run, but the guard grasped her arm. She swung on him, but the second guard grabbed her other arm in mid-swing. "Oh, come on now. We don't want to hurt you." Holly saw it was useless. She relaxed and glowered at them. The first guard banged on Wilmot's door hard enough to rattle it against its frame, while the second one spoke excitedly into his handheld. "We've got her! Holly Lane, the fugitive! She's here at Wilmot's quarters!" A tinny voice replied, "Excellent. Hold her there until we arrive." Wilmot opened his door, a fuzzy robe of royal blue wrapped around him and tightly tied at the waist. His eyes widened with surprise as he saw Holly in the grip of the guard. "Got a visitor for you, Professor," the guard said, pushing Holly past the startled old man and into his sitting room. Then he slid the door shut again. "I suppose I shouldn't be astonished that you're here," Wilmot said, standing by the door. "The remarkable thing is, you've managed to elude the security people for so long." "Not long enough," Holly said ruefully. "Well, do sit down. We might as well be comfortable. Would you like something? Sherry, perhaps?" "No, thanks." Holly perched on the edge of one of the twin armchairs. She glanced at the closed door. No other way out of here, she knew. Wilmot sank down into the other armchair with a pained sigh. "Whatever brought you here to me?" he asked. "I wanted your help," Holly said. "Colonel Kananga murdered Don Diego, and he's after me now." "Diego Romero? I thought his death was an accident." "It was murder," said Holly. "Kananga did it. He tried to kill me when I found out about it." "And Eberle is in on it, is he?" "You know about that?" Holly asked, surprised. His face showing distaste, Wilmot said, "He's put out a dossier that purports to show you are dangerously unbalanced." Holly bit back the anger.